Hi everybody and welcome to the Mental Toughness and Body Show. My name is Rob Evans and I'm your transformation coach, health strategist and internationally published author, helping take your life and your business, your health, fitness, mindset and body from where you are right now to where it is that you want to be. If you've been listening for the last few days, you'll know that today was the day of my beautiful girls, who's 15, who passed away. Tomorrow it's a month that she's been passed away, and today was her memorial service. And I said that I would record this after the memorial service, which I have done. I don't think I could have done it beforehand. Look, a tremendously emotional day for those of you that zoomed in from around the world, thank you, and locally, and those that were in attendance. I mean, there's over a couple of hundred people that attended. It's the biggest funeral I've attended. And just blown away by everybody's support. I mean, I had clients, I had ex-clients, I had, business colleagues. There was lots of family and from my ex-wife's side of the, the family. Just acquaintances. There were security guards there from the hospital. There were, so many nurses and doctors and specialists and so forth. And some people I haven't seen for over a decade. But it was just, like, it was so moving to be there and to stand up in front of people and talk about things that you really want to is not an easy task to do. But it is part of the closure, and I'm exhausted right now. I think I'm emotionally just burnt out and fatigued. Massive day. And this is really just the beginning. One of the things that I spoke about today publicly for the first time, and I'll do it here right now, because I've wanted to keep this private for my little girl, because I didn't want it to interfere with her recovery at all. Now, obviously, she's not here now, and I feel like we need to get more eyeballs on this thing. So I've spoken for a while that she had a terminal illness, and most people think, oh, well, it must be cancer or something like that. She had an eating disorder, and it manifested into anorexia nervosa. And over a two-year period, it just completely intoxicated her and took over her mindset, took over her body, to the point where she became so weak in mindset and body that her body just shut down. And that ended up with her being on life support, and it all happened very quickly, and then we had to make the decision to switch off her life support coming up 4 weeks ago. And one of the things that I spoke about many things today, and part of the challenge was I'd made a commitment that I would speak from the heart and that I wouldn't write anything down at all. And so I planned out some structure in my Apple Notes, but I didn't refer to anything. It was all just to get some structure and then just talk from the heart on the day, whatever it is that I felt. And I think I did a very commendable job. I think Liv would have been proud. A couple of the hard-hitting things that I spoke about were the fact that my little girl was bullied, and we didn't know this for probably about 18 months into her illness. And so probably about 6 months ago, maybe. And she said that she knew what it was early on, but she couldn't talk about it. And then just randomly, one day when I was sitting with her in hospital, she just started talking about it. And honestly, I thought, you little shits. I don't swear normally, but I thought, you little shits. How dare you? So she told me what they said, and I'm not going to say them here now. But they told me what they said to her and how they shamed her. And it's a disgrace. It's a real disgrace and so much disappointment. And I spoke about that today. I didn't name the children, but it happened in primary school, it happened in high school. And, to think that people just don't think about what it is that they say sometimes and don't realise how words really impact people. And today I spoke about, we just all, adults and kids, need to learn to be kinder. Just be kinder to people around you, because your words matter. And when you're so vulnerable, and it affects boys too, but it's far worse hits girls. It's between that ages of sort of 13 to 16 when they are very vulnerable. They're trying to find a place to fit in. They're trying to work out who they are, what it is that they want to do, who do they want to be friends with, who do they want to hang out with. They want to belong to a community, but which community are they trying to fit into? And they've got these raging hormones going at the same time. It's just so confusing, and they're so vulnerable. And yet there can be such harsh judgment and language, both in person and on social media. And the pressure on girls is far, far greater about a certain way to look. You need a bigger butt, a smaller butt, bigger boobs, smaller boobs, bigger waist, smaller waist, whatever it is. There is so much more pressure on girls than there is boys. And it is so unfair, and we need to be kinder, and we need to train our young people in school as a preventative measure to learn to love themselves the way that they are. And that's not to say that we shouldn't be teaching our kids to constantly be striving to be better versions of themselves, but there needs to be some very clear communication and education around body image, self-confidence, what all of that means. Because it's very easy. Like, I was blamed by, I lost count of how many professionals, but I was blamed for my daughter's anorexia. I was blamed for it. Why? Because what's my business? It's a health and fitness business. Now, I can tell you that even though I lost count of how many people, said, well, yeah, it's basically your fault and, casting blame, not one person ever in over 2 years sat down with me and said, so tell me about how it is that you work with your clients. What do you do? Everything came from an assumption that, oh, you work in health and fitness. That's all about restriction. That's all about dieting. That's all about this. Therefore, that is why your daughter has anorexia. It's your fault. Right. Thanks very much. Now, I was determined to remain very focused on what it is that my daughter needed. And I wasn't going to be swayed by anyone, because as soon as you start to lose your focus, you start to be distracted. You lose your focus on what's important, and what was important is looking after my little girl no matter what anyone else said. And I would have many conversations with Liv, and say, she would say, Dad, why are they attacking you? Why do so many people keep targeting you? And I said, because it says something about them. I said, you're like the square peg, and what they're used to, all these doctor specialists, etc., they're used to putting people into round holes, and you're a square peg, so they don't know what to do with you. So because they can't work out the answer, what's easier for them to do, rather than go find an alternative approach, it's to cast blame and say, well, it's the dad's fault because of that, so he's the problem. Sounds really harsh, but that's the reality that many people live in. Now, I'm fortunate that I'm a very strong person, very resilient, and I wasn't let anything wear me down. And so that was something that I spoke about today. And I did have the opportunity to speak with three girls that were... So I'm just going to have a drink of water. I'm a bit dry. Almost out of water. Three girls that are suffering the same illness as Liv, in and out of hospital, are really battling. And I had the chance to give each of them a hug and say hello and just make sure that they know that they're loved outside of their family, and that there is support outside of their family. And if they need the help, I'm here for them and for whatever role I can play. And whether that's the dog therapy and the money that we're raising there, or some other way, all they need to do is reach out. Because, Liv knew each one of these people, and she was so caring that she cared more about them than she did herself. And we need to make sure that these kids can survive this and they can grow through it and not allow it to completely consume them. And I'm determined to make a difference in that space. And so at the time of recording this, I haven't checked the GoFundMe page since leaving the service, but we're up to over $7,020 it was before the service. I'm thinking by maybe by Friday, by the end of the weekend, maybe we might have hit our $10,000 target, which will be absolutely amazing. I spoke to the key doctor, the head of the adolescent medicine at Monash. I'm building a strong relationship with her. She was at the service today. I spent some more time with her after the service, and things are starting to happen already as a result of Liv passing and me reaching out to them and saying, we need to do things differently, and this is what we're doing. And I think actions speak louder than words. You can say, okay, I think we should do this, or my approach was, I'm going to raise money now, and then I'm going to come and meet with you, and then we need to get this to the kids that need it now. So I've reached out to a family already to say, we've got money for you. You let me know. We'll book in the sessions. You book in the sessions. Whatever it is, we'll pay for them for you. There were some very, very moving moments for me there today with being able to have those interactions. And I think standing up in front of people and just in many ways delivering a cold, hard truth about the fact that everything isn't sunshine and rainbows. You know, there's... Liv was bullied. She's not here because she was bullied. There are kids suffering with this right now. There are people still being mean to people right now, and it's a growing epidemic around the world. And COVID has not helped that. And we need to protect our beautiful young people, because they are all beautiful, beautiful souls. And they're gentle, and they may be a bit different. And that was the problem for Liv. Society doesn't handle different well. And because she was different, she was treated differently and made as an easy target because she was different. And that's not fair. So what I'm going to do now is use Liv's legacy to make a difference for others. And I know that Liv will be with me every step of the way. And Liv's mum just called me just moments ago, actually probably about 20 minutes ago, to tell me that today, that Liv's memorial was actually mentioned in Australian Parliament. Because somebody else that Liv also knows that was started her illness after Liv, so they got to know each other a little bit, their family reached out to a local member, as in like a local parliamentarian, and that parliamentarian, along with a couple of other colleagues, raised this issue in Parliament today and was speaking about one of their constituents, if you like, in their electorate, was attending Liv's funeral today as somebody that had passed away because of an eating disorder. And they're determined to make a difference. So I asked her mum to forward me the details of this person. I'm going to connect with them to connect with this member. And once you start to connect with Parliament, you can get some boots at a national level and you can get some media attention on this. That's going to make the next step, which is me reaching out to Netflix and whether it's Amazon Prime, Paramount, whoever it is. And we just need to get a lot of attention in this area because we need to get it changed. And look, I'm exhausted right now, so I am going to leave it there. We're up to about 15 minutes. I want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart. There were so many people that reached out to me this morning wishing me well on Messenger, text message, phone call, email. I had some flowers delivered from the QP team over in the US, and they were delivered to the service, which I received after the service. And I brought a tear to my eye to think that there are just so many caring people around the globe that are really feeling for me, but also feeling for my daughter. And look, I said today, I broke down a couple of times, maybe four. I said one of the toughest things for me is, as a transformation coach, a mindset coach, I've helped thousands of people around the globe, thousands of people. And with all my skills, I could not save my daughter. And believe me, that weighs heavily on me. I know I did a lot for my little girl. And I will continue to say, what if I did this? What if I did that? I just know that the dog therapy would have so greatly helped her. And she's had to pass away for now the wheels to be well and truly in motion in making this a permanent part within the hospital, all because Liv passed away. I said, I'm going to start a GoFundMe page. I arranged a meeting with the two senior doctors of adolescent mental health and I guess adolescent doctor for psychiatrist and doctor. And now things are happening. They're happening that quickly. It's like, why the frick couldn't you get that to happen earlier? People talked about it and said, oh yeah, we're looking into getting therapy dogs for, you know, Liv to come in and whatever. Never happened. I never did it. And, you know, with my attempts to try and get in, you know, a private person to come in and do it, just because of timing and everything with her being in hospital, unsure if she's in hospital, being able to organise the therapy people, etc., we just were not able to effectively do it, so we were able to get her some sessions out of hospital, but it was really what she needed in hospital, and she needed to be there a lot more frequent than it was. But now we're going to change things, and we're going to save lives. And even if we can just save one life, then it's been worth it. So, thank you. It's my global thank you. My love to you all. Stay safe. Stay healthy. I'll see you tomorrow.